فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to continue with Sharh Sunnah of Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullah. And last time we had points number 27 and 28 with regard to the fact that Hajj and Jihad continue along with the Muslim rulers. As we said, the author, Imam Al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he brings a number of sections because the importance here of obedience to the Muslim rulers. So he brings a number of points here in that regard. So last time we had the points on that particular issue, points number 27 and 28, with regard to the fact that Hajj and fighting Jihad continue along with the Muslim rulers. That these two, leading the Hajj and leading the Jihad, are from the functions and duties of the ruler. And they carry them out, they lead the Hajj, and they lead the Jihad, unless they appoint someone else to that role, to that duty. So, no doubt, as Sheikh Fawzan mentioned in his explanation, Hafidhullah, that Jihad is to be carried out under the command, under the orders, and under the arrangement of the ruler. He gives the command for the Jihad, he arranges the armies, sends them in which directions they're to go, and so on and so forth. This is the function and the duty of the Muslim ruler. And as for anyone who feels like just taking up weapons and then going off to fight and claiming that this is Jihad, then, as Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, this is not Jihad in Allah's cause at all. Rather, Jihad is that which is regulated by the Islamic rulings and regulations. It's not just indiscriminate fighting as a person sees fit. Rather, Jihad has, because of its importance, it has legislated rulings and regulations. And if these are not applied, then it will be just chaos. It will be chaos, no matter if the people call it Jihad or not, it will just be chaos. As the Sheikh said, as happens with those people who appoint themselves as leaders over the ignorant ones. And then they say, come, let us go and fight Jihad. And they call it Jihad, and as the Sheikh said, this is not Jihad. Rather, this just causes harm to Islam. And is not Jihad, rather it is Fasad. It's causing corruption. Also, the point came with regard to the Jumu'ah prayer, that the Jumu'ah prayer is correct behind the rulers, even if they commit sins. Even if they commit acts contrary to the legislation, commit sins, still the Jumu'ah prayer behind them is correct. And Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned a couple of important reasons for this. That firstly, that this retains unity. This retains the unity of the Ummah. We still, if we pray the Jumu'ah prayer, just the same as we perform the Hajj behind them, perform Jihad behind them, and likewise we pray the Jumu'ah prayer behind them, then this retains the unity. And secondly, that another principle, that if a sinner, a person who is sinful, if he performs a good deed, then we should perform good along with him and aid him upon that and encourage him upon that good deed. And the evidence for that, Sheikh quoted the narration from Uthman radiallahu anhu, when the people came to him when he was surrounded by the rebels, and the people said, so and so, he is a leader, but he is not a leader, he is just a leader upon discord. So what do you advise us? So then Uthman radiallahu anhu, he said, if they do good, then do good along with them. And if they do evil, then stay away from their evil. Also, he had the point with regard to that after the Jumu'ah prayer, it was mentioned, the Imam mentioned, after Jumu'ah prayer, that a person prays 6 rak'ahs, dividing each pair of rak'ahs. And this was the saying of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And as Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned, hafidhahullah, this was a point of fiqh, which was mentioned because the affair of Jumu'ah was mentioned, so he brought this point of fiqh connected to it. And this was one saying from Imam Ahmad, that after Jumu'ah, a person can pray optional prayer of 6 rak'ahs. That's one of the sayings from Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah. Then the author, Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continues, I want to curse here as point, and we also had the point after that, with regard to the A'imma, the rulers from Quraysh. The Khilafah remains within Quraysh until Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam descends. Then he continues, rahimahullah, and what occurs here on page 231, point number 29, that Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَمَنْ خَرَجَ عَلَىٰ إِمَامٍ مِنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَهُوَ خَارِجِي قَدْ شَقَّ أَصْرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَخَالَفَ الْآثَارِ وَمِيتَتُهُ مِيتَةٌ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ. And whoever rebels against one of the Muslim rulers, then he is a khariji, he is one of the khawarij. He has caused dissent within the Muslims, and he has contradicted the narrations, and he dies a death like that of the days of ignorance. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, وَمَنْ خَرَجَ عَلَىٰ, as it should be, it shouldn't be an, all the other versions have عَلَىٰ here. وَمَنْ خَرَجَ عَلَىٰ إِمَامٍ مِنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَهُوَ خَارِجِي. And whoever revolts against a ruler from the Muslim rulers, then he is a khariji. He is one of the khawarij. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, whoever departs from obedience to the one in authority, then he has literally, he has broken the staff of obedience. He's broken the stick, the staff of obedience, and he has broken the unity of obedience with the excuse. He does so with the excuse that the person in authority has sins and has acts contrary to the legislation, as is done by the Khawarij. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, he mentions the excuse why these people do this. Why do they go against obedience, the revolt against the Muslim ruler? The excuse that they use is because he is doing, is committing sins, he's doing acts contrary to the legislation. As the Shaykh said, just as the Khawarij do. This is their claim. So he has the ruling of the Khawarij. And the Khawarij are a deviant group which first sprouted in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Dhul Khawaisara came and said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he saw him dividing the booty, he said to him, I'dil ya Muhammad. This is what this Dhul Khawaisara, what he said when he saw the Prophet dividing the booty out, sharing it, giving a share here and there. He said, do justice, O Muhammad, for you have not been just. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, وَيْلَكْ فَمَنْ يَأْدِلْ إِذَا لَمْ أَعْدِلْ. So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, responded to him, woe to you, then who will do justice if I do not do justice? So then when he departed, when that man departed, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, يَخْرُجُ مِنْ دِئِ هَذَا قَوْمٌ تَحْقِرُونَ صَلَاتَكُمْ إِلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ وَعِبَادَتَكُمْ إِلَى عِبَادَتِهِمْ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَا يَتَجَاوَزُ حَنَاجِرَهُمْ يَمْرُقُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ كَمَا يَمْرُقُ السَّهْمُ مِنَ الرَّمِيَّةِ فأينما لقيتموهم فاقتلوهم فإن في قتلهم أجرا لمن قتلهم. So when he departed, when he went off, Dhul Khawaisara went off, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will emerge from the progeny of this one, meaning from his type, the Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning from his type, there will emerge from the progeny of this one a people. You will belittle your prayers in comparison to their prayers, and your worship in comparison to their worship. They will recite the Quran, but it will not pass beyond their throats. They will shoot out from the religion, from the deen, just as an arrow shoots straight through the game. So wherever you find them, then fight them. For in fighting them there is reward for those who fight them. In a footnote they mention, reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, and you'll find it there with the hadith number, contrary to what occurs here, hadith number 3344. And reported by Muslim as hadith 1064 from a hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Fawzan said, commenting, so it is obligatory to fight against them, and that is in order to withhold or to stop their evil from the Muslims. And then Sheikh Fawzan makes a point. He said, this is the case if they come out with weapons and they bear arms. But as for their merely manifesting the view of the Khawarij and speaking with it, but not fighting and not bearing arms, that in that case we rebuke them and we make clear to them their misguidance, but we do not fight against them. And that's where the distinction is made. If the people hold the view of the Khawarij, but they don't bear arms, they don't come out fighting, then their error is made clear to them. If they bear arms, then they're fought against. Then the Sheikh said, however, if they gain strength and they start to fight against the Muslims, then it is not permissible then for the Muslims to leave them. Rather, it is obligatory upon the person in authority to fight against them. It is obligatory upon the Muslims, and it is obligatory upon the Muslims that they should be along with the person in authority against them. Just as occurred in the Khilafah, the Caliphate of Ali radiallahu anhu, when he fought against the Khawarij at Nahrawan, at this place, and Nahrawan. And the companions joined him. And they fought against the Khawarij along with him until they killed them in the worst manner. And through that, he attained the reward which Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, promised in his saying, فَإِنَّ فِي قَتْلِهِمْ أَجْرًا لِمَنْ قَتَلَهُمْ. His saying, for indeed there is reward in fighting against them for those who fight against them. A part of the previous hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Fawzan said, and this is from the virtues of Ali radiallahu anhu, and his virtues are many, and from them is that he fought against the Khawarij, and he implemented the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding them. Then Sheikh Fawzan moves on to the next part and says, he's saying, قَدْ شَقَّ أَصَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ قَدْ شَقَّ أَصَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَخَالَفَ الْآثَارِ وَمِيتَتُهُ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِي وَمِيتَتُهُ مِيتَةٌ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ. He said, and he, the one who revolts against the Muslim ruler, he has caused dissent within the Muslims, and he has contradicted the narrations, and his death will be a death like the death of the days of ignorance. Sheikh Fawzan said, so the Khawarij, they are the people who broke the unity of obedience, and they revolted against the person in authority. And likewise, they are the ones who declare the Muslims to be disbelievers on account of major sins, on account of kabair, which are less than shirk. So therefore they have two signs. There are two signs for the Khawarij here. The first sign is their khuruj, their rebelling against the person in authority over the Muslims. And they're attempting to remove the one in authority. The second sign is that they declare the Muslims to be disbelievers on account of kaba'ir, on account of major sins, which are less than shirk. Then the Shaykh gives the reason for this. He said, and what led them to this is ghulu, extremism, exceeding the limits, and Allah's refuge is sought. And therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned against ghulu. He warned against extremism, warned against going beyond the limit, saying, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوَ فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمُ الْغُلُوَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of ghulu, beware of extremism. For those who came before you were only destroyed on account of extremism, going beyond the limits, ghulu. The authentic hadith, as I mentioned, a footnote being reported by Imam Ahmad, and Nasa'i in his Sunan, Ibn Majah, and a number of others, Al-Tabarani, Ibn Khuzaymah, Ibn Hibban, Al-Hakim, and he declared it authentic to the standard of the two sheikhs, Al-Hakim, and Al-Dhahabi agreed. Likewise, authenticated by Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, explaining what is Al-Ghulu, extremism going beyond the limit, he said, and it is adding to the religion and adding to that which is legislated with regard to criticizing an evil. This is ghulu, this is extremism, which led the Khawarij to what occurred from them. They went overboard, they went beyond the limit, they had ghulu in correcting, in criticizing an evil, to such an extent that they split apart from unity. And they went beyond the limit, went to extremes in worship, in the matter of worship, to the extent that they declared those people who commit major sins from the Muslims to be disbelievers. And he said, he's saying, خَالَفَ الْآثَارِ, has contradicted the narrations. He said, meaning, anyone who rebels against the Muslim ruler, he said, he has contradicted the narrations. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, meaning, the ahadith which occur from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regard to adhering to obedience to the one in authority over the Muslims. And he's saying, وَمِيتَتُهُ مِيتَةٌ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ. And his death will be a death like that of the days of ignorance. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, meaning, because he has a characteristic from the characteristic of the times of ignorance, times of Jahiliyyah. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan explains that. He said, because the Arabs in the times of Jahiliyyah, the times of ignorance, they used to be dispersed within different tribes. It'd be separate. All each within different tribes. They had no single ruler who would unite them. Rather, each tribe would be independent on its own. And they would make surprise attacks upon other tribes. And they did not unite, except after Allah sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He called them to Islam, so they accepted Islam. And they came to be beneath a single banner. And therefore He, the Most High, said, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Surah Al-Isra, or rather, Surah Al-Imran, Surah Al-Imran, the third surah, Ayah 103. With the explanation, and remember the favour of Allah upon you, that you were previously enemies. So He brought harmony between your hearts, He joined between your hearts, and through his favour you became brothers. Shaykh Fawzan said, and he the Most High said, وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ أَنْتُمْ قَلِيلٌ مُسْتَضْعَفُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ تَخَافُونَ أَنْ يَتَخَطَّفَكُمُ النَّاسِ فَآوَاكُمْ وَأَيَّدَكُمْ بِنَصْرِ وَرَزَقَكُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ Surah Anfal, the 8th Surah, Ayah 26, with the explanation, and remember, when you were few, and you were weak upon the earth, fearing that the people would snatch you away, and Allah gave you shelter, and He strengthened you with his aid, and He provided provision for you from the good and pure things, so that you may give thanks. Shaykh Fawzan said, from the fruits of obedience to the one in authority over the Muslims. Indeed, from those fruits that came about through that. This is from the fruits of obedience. And what's just been mentioned in the ayah is from the fruits of obedience to the one in authority of the Muslims. All these good things come about through that. Establishment of security, the ability to seek provisions, and the people being able to travel far and wide to seek provisions on account of the roads being safe. But when there is fear, when there is a state of fear, then in that case the people do not travel. They do not buy and sell out of fear for themselves. So these are from the virtues of the Jama'ah, of the united body, and of obedience to the one in authority. As for revolting against the one in authority, and splitting away from unity, splitting away from obedience rather, then that brings about the following. Shaykh Fawzan mentions three things that brings about, the opposite. He said, firstly, causes the splitting of the united body of the Muslims. Secondly, the shedding of blood without right. And thirdly, the enemy overcoming. Because the enemy are happy at this. And therefore you will find the disbelievers being joyful at the splitting of the Muslims. And they bring about splits between the Muslims. And they aid the deviant groups. They provide them with weapons. And they aid them with planning. So that they can seize them as plunder. And so though the disbelievers, they can seize the Muslims as plunder. As occurs. As happens. So all of this is a result of disunity and of disobeying the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of rebelling against the one in authority of the affairs of the Muslims. So in summary, one who has no ruler, then he is like a person who lives in Jahiliyyah, in the times of ignorance. And if he dies, then his death is like that of the times of ignorance. It does not mean that he becomes a disbeliever, but rather it means that he has a characteristic from the characteristics of the time of the days of ignorance. In that, he does not enter under the obedience to a ruler. Instead, he lives in chaos. He lives in fawda, chaos, anarchy. Then the Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, he mentions a further point. He said, وَلَا يَحِلُّ قِتَالُ السُّلْطَانِ وَلَا الْخُرُوجُ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْجَارِ وَذَلِكَ لِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِأَبِي ذَرٍ الْغِفَارِ إِثْبِرْ وَإِنْ كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا وَلِقَوْلِهِ لِلْأَنْصَارِ اسفروا حتى تلقوني على الحوض. وليس من السنة قتال السلطان فإن فيه فساد الدنيا والدين. He said, and it is not permissible to fight the ruler, nor to rebel against him, even if he oppresses. And that is because of the saying of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, have patience, even if he is an Abyssinian slave. And his saying to the Ansar, have patience until you meet me at the reservoir, the Hawd. It is not from the Sunnah, the Imam continued, it is not from the Sunnah to fight against the ruler, for it brings about corruption of the worldly life and of the religion. Sheikh Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in explanation, it is not permissible for anyone to fight against the Sultan, to fight against the ruler, by rebelling against him using weapons. Because this results in major evils. He's saying, وَلَا يَحِلُّ قِتَالُ السُّلْطَانِ وَلَا الْخُرُوجُ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْجَارُ. And it is not permissible to fight against the ruler, nor to rebel against him, even if he is oppressive. Sheikh Razan said, meaning, it is forbidden, it is haram, forbidden to fight against the ruler. Meaning, to fight against the ruler, as is done by the Khawarij. وَإِنْجَارْ, even if he commits oppression. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning, even if some tyranny or oppression occurs from him, then the person should have sabr, he should have patience upon that. Because having patience upon that, even though it has harm within it, even though he's going to suffer some oppression, and he suffers some harm in having patience, she said, but having patience upon that, even though it has harm within it, then this is lighter than the harm which results from rebelling against him. It's less serious, lighter, less of a problem than the harm that results from rebelling against him. So the harm which comes about along with having patience upon obedience to the oppressive ruler, this is lighter, less serious than the harm which comes about through rebelling against him. And there is no doubt that from the principles that are confirmed in Islam is irtikabu akhaffid dararain lidafi a'lahuma. From these principles confirmed in Islam is taking on board the lesser of two harms to repel the greater one. Taking on the lesser of two, you have to go take one of two harms is going to happen, you have to do one or the other, taking on the lesser one to repel the greater one. Sheikh Fawzan said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Ansar, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ بَعْدِي أَثَرَةً فَاصْبِرُوا حَتَّى تَلْقَوْنِي عَلَى الْحَوْضِ. Quoting the full wording of the hadith quoted by the author here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, or quoting the fuller wording, that you will indeed see undue preference after me. So have patience until you meet me at the Hawd, at the great reservoir. In a footnote they mention, this indeed, same narration as before, reported by the same narration brought by the author in the main text, reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, it should be as Hadith number 3792, and reported by Muslim in his Sahih, and it should be Hadith 1845, not 54, it should be 45. From a hadith of Usayd ibn al-Hudayr radiallahu anhu. He He said, you will indeed see after me athara, undue preference. So have patience until you meet me at the Hawl, at the great reservoir. Sheikh Fawzan said, he enjoined them with sabr, with having patience. Even though they were going to experience athara, undue preference against them. And it is, and Sheikh Fawzan explained this word, he said, and it is, preferring other people with wealth and excluding them. So he enjoined them with having patience because of what lies in this, from repelling the greater of two evils. And he said, he's saying, وَذَلِكَ لِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِأَبِي ذَرٍ الْغِفَارِ اسْبِرْ وَإِنْ كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا. And that is because the saying of, that is because of the saying of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, have patience even if he be an Abyssinian slave. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning, do not hold the ruler in contempt, do not belittle, do not hold the ruler in contempt even if his appearance is not pleasing. As rather said, even if his appearance is not beautiful, even if he is black in colour, even if he does not have Arabian lineage, because what is counted is his position, which is the khilafa, the caliphate, or al-imara, the major leadership. And what is counted is not his own person. So he is to be obeyed as long as he is Muslim, as long as he is a Muslim. And his appearance, his bodily appearance, is not to be looked to. His bodily appearance, which perhaps does not please the one who looks, because of his demam, or because of his deformity or ugliness, or because of his shabby appearance, or because of a defect in his body. Mujadda al-Atraf. Sheikh Fawzan quotes the hadith that came last week. One of the wordings of the same, the hadith of Abu Dharr, that even if he is a slave who with severed limbs, whose limbs are cut off, this being part of the same hadith, and narration of the hadith put in the by the author in the main text, hadith of Abu Dharr, of the Allahu Anhu, reported by Al Bukhari, that's hadith 3792, and Muslim, that's hadith 1845. And this being one particular wording of that preceded a short while ago, just one of the wordings of that hadith. The hadith for the wording reported by a Muslim. It's hadith 1837. Or rather, hadith from Abu Dharr as hadith 648 rather. Reported by a Muslim, it's hadith 648. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, Hafidhullah, Mujadda al-Atraf, even if he has his limbs cut off, he said, all of this does not justify rebelling against him. Defect, bodily defects, he doesn't look pleasing, but shabby appearance, so on and so forth. Sheikh said, all of this does not justify rebelling against him, even if he is a sick person, or he has weak health, as long as the pledge of obedience was established for him. Then he should have patience with him, and he is to be heard and obeyed, even if he has these characteristics. He's saying, وَلَيْسَ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ قِتَالُ السُّلْطَانِ, and it, fighting against the sultan, the ruler, is not from the sunnah. Sheikh Fawzan said, it is not from the sunnah established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fight against the ruler, not in a single hadith, neither a weak one nor a hasan one nor an authentic one, not in the sunnah at all. There is not in the sunnah any hadith which proves fighting against the Muslim ruler. Even if he is sinful, even if he is an oppressor, even if he's a tyrant, and even if he shows undue preference with wealth, then it is still not permissible to rebel against him. Rather, the ahadith, all of them, prove having patience with that, and the forbiddance of rebelling against him. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan makes an important point and says, and this does not mean that the ruler should not be advised, shouldn't receive nasiha, sincere advice. Rather, he should be advised in secret, privately, between the person, between him and the one who is advising. So it is obligatory upon the person who has some sincere advice to take it to the ruler. Just as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "Ad-deenu al-nasiha, qulna liman, qal lillahi, wa li kitabihi, wa li rasulihi, wa li a'immati al-muslimin, wa a'ammatihim." The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "The religion is sincerity." So we said, "To whom?" So he said, "To Allah, and to His Book, and to His Messenger, and to the rulers of the Muslims, and to their common folk." Hadith, as I mentioned, another famous hadith reported by Muslim in the Sahih, as hadith number 55 from a hadith of Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu. So the Shaykh Fawzan said, so that does not mean that he has not to be advised. In fact, we don't rebel against him, we have patience with him. The Shaykh said, that does not mean that he is not to be advised, and that he is to be abandoned, left alone. Rather, things must be made clear to him, and he should be advised, and this is his right upon the scholars, and upon his subjects, and upon those whom he consults, and upon the people of sound opinion, that they give him sincere advice. Just a small point here with regard to a note from Shaykh al-Suhaymi in his explanation, Shaykh Salih al-Suhaymi, hafizahullah, and he said with regard to the word sultan, because the word sultan occurs here, literally, obviously, sultan, the sultan, the one in authority. Then Shaykh al-Suhaymi, he made a point here, he said, he's saying sultan, he used this word here to make it general. The one who has sultana, the one who has authority, make it a general word. He said, to make it general, he used the word sultan to make it general. Whether the person is a khalifa, khalif, or a malik, a king, or a sultan, or a ra'is, the head or president or something. Whatever he is, as long as he establishes the legislation of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, whatever his title is, whether he is called a king, or sultan, sultan, or an amir, chief, head, or an imam. Whatever, then the witness here is that it is forbidden to rebel against him. Back to the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan, he said, bringing on the next point, or the next section of this point here, وَلَيْسَ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ بِتَالُ السُّلْطَانِ. A repetition of the same. He said, and it is not from the sunnah to fight against the sultan, the ruler. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning, there is no proof for it. Nothing sahih, nothing authentic, and nothing da'if, nothing weak, to show that it is legislated to fight against the Muslim ruler. Rather, there is in it, in the sunnah, and in the Quran also, the command to obey him. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. Surah An-Nisa, the 4th surah, ayah 59. With the explanation, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority from amongst you. Shaykh al-Fawzan says, so look at his saying, minkum, the meaning from amongst you. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, as long as he is a Muslim. Minkum, from amongst you, from amongst the Muslims. The Shaykh said, meaning, as long as he is a Muslim, then it is obligatory to obey him. And he said, finishing, he's saying, فَإِنَّ فِيهِ فَسَادَ الدُّنْيَا وَالدِّينِ. For indeed, in rebelling against him, the ruler, in it lies corruption of the worldly life and of the religion. Shaykh Fawzan said, in fighting against the ruler, or rather he said, fighting against the ruler brings about corruption of the worldly life, such that authority is lost. Authority, kingship, authority is lost. And fawda, anarchy or chaos becomes widespread. And then the enemy and the enemies overcome. And the religion becomes lost. And he explains, I mean, what do you mean? It doesn't mean Islam disappears. What does he mean by the religion becomes lost? In the religion of the people. How? He said, since there is no one to establish the prescribed punishments, the hudud, and no one who can carry out the qisas, the retaliatory punishments, and there is no one who can enforce the legislated rulings and give back the rights to those who deserve them, and who can enforce the judicial rulings. There's no one who can do any of this. No one can enforce any of this in this situation. He said, and thus the religion is corrupted. And there is chaos and corruption. And the hand of the thief cannot be chopped. So therefore, people's wealth is lost. And the highway robbers do not have their limbs amputated. And therefore the roads become disused. Because who can establish all of this? He is the person in authority, the one in charge of the affairs. This is from the function of the one in authority. And no one will be able, even if all the people gather, no one will be able to establish these affairs. Rather, chaos and anarchy will result. That's where Sheikh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, ends explanation of that point. And the next point that follows is the responsibility of fighting against the Khawarij. Just before finishing, to add one point from the explanation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Najri, hafidhahullah, then he said, I say, the aqidah, the creed and belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that fighting against the ruler is not permissible, and likewise rebelling against him, it is not permissible, because of the prohibition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his warning against rebelling against him, and the prohibition of challenging the ruler, which occurs in the hadith of Ubadah ibn al-Samit, with the wording, and that we will not challenge those in authority with regard to the affair. Hadith, as Sheikh said in the footnote, hadith already preceded. It was part of the pledge which the companions gave to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they would not challenge those in authority of the affair. Sheikh Ahmad continued, so challenging those in authority of the affair is not permissible. And that comes about by provoking and rabble-rousing the common masses to rebel against them. All of this is not permissible. And from that is criticizing them, criticizing the rulers from the mimbars. For this will only enrage the hearts of those in authority and cause and estrangement between those in authority and the common masses, cause separation and estrangement between them, and cause them to have no trust in each other. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of your rulers are those whom you love and who love you, and who supplicate for them and they supplicate for you. And the worst of your rulers are those whom you hate and who hate you, and they, well, you abuse them and they abuse you. So they said, "We said, O Messenger of Allah, shall we not challenge them? Shall we not go against them with regard to that?" So he said, "No, not as long as they establish the prayer amongst you. Not as long as they establish the prayer. Indeed, whoever has someone in authority over him, and he sees him committing something from disobedience to Allah, then let him dislike, let him hate that which he commits from disobedience to Allah. But let him not remove his hand from obedience." A hadith being reported by Muslim as a hadith of Auf ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. The Shaykh said, and the proofs are present in this regard from the book, and there are many, and the speech of the Salaf, there is a great deal of that, and Allah is the one who grants success. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.